clutter is usually like is a form of procrastination, right? It's a form of fear. And there's like usually different layers to like why it's been building up.
This is the Alchemized Life podcast, and I am your host, Ava Johanna, transformational mentor, speaker, teacher, and most importantly, a woman on a mission to bring wellness to the world. This podcast was created to bridge the gap for anyone craving more love, health, and happiness in each and every day. And with every episode, you will receive practical guidance to create magic in your own life. Combining the expertise of wellness visionaries and thought leaders, each week we will bring it back to basics and provide you with the tools meant to empower you to thrive emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So together, let's ditch the mean girl, you can't sit with us vibes, grab your favorite yoga pants, and start to find your uniquely alchemized life. Before we jump into today's episode, I am so excited to share with you guys our very first sponsor, Athletics CBD. So if you guys have been following me, you know that I have struggled this past year with a lot of inflammation throughout my back from my yoga practice, which is such a bummer. And I know that it's common. A lot of yogis struggle with lower back pain, pain in the shoulders, the back of the heart, and it sucks. I hate not being able to go on my mat and practice every single day because I'm in pain. And when I was looking for solutions, there were a lot of different things that, you know, were more topical, that kind of were just like a band-aid. But then I found CBD and athletic CBD specifically because they have the muscle recovery elements of different vitamins working simultaneously with the CBD. So it's full spectrum CBD. It also includes magnesium, glutamine, zinc, vitamin B, and all of these vitamins work together to help your muscles recover faster. So you guys, after I was using this for about a month, all of the soreness and my back pain went away, which is crazy because I had been struggling with this for so long. And CBD really doesn't stop there. I mean, all of these vitamins work together and there's the muscle recovery element of it, but it is CBD. So you see a relief in inflammation and pain and anxiety and, you know, other conditions that CBD treats. For example, sleep. I've been sleeping like a damn baby and I love it. I think you guys will really, really enjoy this. Again, it's athletic CBD oil. I take it once a day. I'll put it in my coffee in the morning. It has a peppermint taste, so it's almost like a peppermint latte from Starbucks. Or you can take it right before you go to sleep and see how that helps to affect your sleep cycle. I really like it for that as well. Take it every day. This is something that has totally changed my life, and I had no idea that it was supposed to be used as a daily supplement. The first time that I ever tried CBD a few years ago, I had a splitting migraine and I took it and I was like, well, what the heck? This stuff doesn't work. But now that I use it every single day, I never even feel close to getting a migraine. So really, really powerful stuff. There are so many studies going on right now about the power of CBD and it's really blowing up. So I suggest if you guys have not tried CBD yet, or if you're looking for a really, really powerful product to use, Athletics CBD is the one to use. So they have been gracious enough to give us a sweet little discount for all of the Alchemized Life family. So if you are interested in trying Athletics CBD, head to the show notes where I will include a link, and the code that you will receive 15% off of your order is Alchemized15. I'll include that in the show notes as well. Again, you can head to their website. Their website is athleticscbd.com and enter Alchemized15 for 15% off of your order. Hi everyone, welcome back. Ava here, happy Monday. I hope you guys have had a fabulous weekend. I am currently sitting up in LA at my mom's house. It's been a kind of crazy week. Lots of rain, which always throws me a little bit for a loop. I think I'm a bit of a Southern California brat in that way, where after 2 days of complete rain, I am just ready for the sunshine. I hope I'm not the only one. And I, before we jump into the episode, just wanted to share, you know, how beautiful the beginning of this year has been. And I have heard from a lot of people that we have just been seeing so much movement. And this week was really the first experience of me feeling ungrounded. So I just wanted to remind everyone that, you know, As amazing as all of this movement is and just being on this trajectory of elevating and elevating and elevating, remember to ground down. Remember to call in the tools that allow us to feel rooted, because that ultimately will allow us to sustainably grow so we don't tire out. And I hope that whoever's listening to this has received that message, because it just felt so called for me to share that. But again, it's been a beautiful start to the year, and it's really hard to believe it's only been 3 weeks into the year. Like, I can't believe it's only been 3 weeks. As you guys know, I launched my 2019 mentorship program at the beginning of the year, really as a way for me to support and guide women through deeply transformational times in their career and personal life. Since the program has started, there has been incredible revelations, and I'm really so honored to hold space for these women. It's truly a sisterhood. Like, it's so much more than just a program. It's a sisterhood. And working one-on-one as women discover their power and purpose is really one of the greatest gifts I have ever been given. I'm so grateful to share with all of you that this program is officially at capacity. You know, I never expected that it would be at capacity this quickly. And I'm just so grateful that it is. And I really set out with the intention of keeping it intimate, since it is one-on-one offering, and there's so much energy that goes into it, not just in the weekly sessions, but all of the time in between. And so I'm going to be closing out my schedule over the next month to really create space for magic with my current girls, my wedding that is coming up, and the upcoming travel to Bali for our Bali Magic Yoga Retreat. If you guys didn't hear the episode last week, you can find a link for more information in the show notes if you guys want to come to Bali in March. It's going to be so much fun. So for those of you that are listening that were interested in my mentorship program and working with me, I do want to share that I have my email course, Unbreakable Confidence, and you can still get access to my trainings and create major shifts on a daily basis simply by checking your email. Pretty cool. Unbreakable Confidence is really for the woman ready to move mountains. It's for the woman that is sick of feeling like an imposter. You know how imposter syndrome goes, or living in a state of fear or lack of direction, and ready to finally drop the negative self-talk, because we do not need that where we are going. It's only up from here. And as I did my research, as I was creating this program, I realized it's really the first email course designed to elevate your mindset, career, and relationships in only 30 days. Yes. I promise. Unbreakable Confidence combines writing, reading, and speaking to target the subconscious mind and really shift your current reality. All of these things work together simultaneously to create these major shifts in your mindset. And when you sign up, this is exactly what you're going to receive. So there's daily lessons that evoke conscious thought and deeper awareness about confidence and empowerment. You'll receive journaling prompts to dig into the past thought patterns and stories that you've held that you really don't know you don't need to hold anymore. You'll have daily mantras to shift limiting beliefs into liberating beliefs. I teach you guys my step-by-step process for healing old wounds and rewiring the mind from negative self-talk. So again, we do not need that anymore. It's really powerful. And I want everyone to experience the deep sense of fulfillment and security and truly loving themselves and knowing deep worth, because there's nothing more powerful than the feeling of just feeling fulfilled with who you are and loving yourself. So because my program filled up, I'm really excited to offer that I'm going to be giving Unbreakable Confidence away to two different people that are listening right now. So all you have to do is leave a review on iTunes for the podcast, screenshot it, and send it over to me on Instagram. If you don't know my Instagram, it's at Ava Johanna. Reviews really help the podcast so much. And as a way of saying thank you for taking a few moments out of your day to express your love for the podcast, I want to express my love to you and give you this awesome course. If you don't want to wait for me to announce the people that will be winning it, and you're ready to start Unbreakable Confidence today, head to the show notes for the direct link to enroll for only $49. So let's chat about today's episode with Dani from Spatial Solutions. If you guys don't know Dani, get ready for a fun conversation. Dani's mission is to support people in redefining their relationship with their space. Her intuitive process releases people from physical and energetic clutter and reimagines the form, flow, and function within their environments. Since starting this work, Dani has helped countless clients reclaim their sacred relationship with their space, elevating their productivity and inspiring their true potential. I am friends with a few people that Dani has worked with, and their spaces are so inspiring and so cool. Dani is really freaking awesome and funny. I'm moving up to LA in a few short months, Surprise announcement. And I'm so excited to work with Dani when we find our home. She has such an eye, and as you'll hear in this episode, makes redesigning and re-envisioning your space and the relationship you have to your things such a cool process. Dani's located in LA, but it's so cool because she recently opened up her schedule for a virtual session, so you can experience her intuitive spatial design from anywhere in the world. She has also been kind enough to offer all listeners an opportunity to chat with her one-on-one for free. So I've included a link in the show notes to book a discovery session with her. You guys seriously jump on that though, because her schedule is filling up and you have to take advantage of this. It is such a game changer. If you guys love today's episode, please make sure and share it on your social so we can see, tag the podcast at The Alchemized Life and Dani at Spatial Solutions. That's Spatial, S-P-A-T-I-A-L, and Solutions is S-O-U-L-U-T-I-O-N-S. So I can shower all of you guys with all of the love. All right, without further ado, let's talk with Dani of Spatial Solutions. So Dani, welcome to The Alchemized Life. I'm so excited.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So I'm going to let you do the honors of introducing yourself.
Okay.
For those people that don't know you, who are you and what do you do?
Oh, well, my name's Dani. I'm the owner and founder of Spatial Solutions, which is an intuitive space planning service. Basically, I integrate organization and design to help people redefine their relationship with their space. Mm-hmm. So I do that virtually and in person, helping people release clutter and old energetic attachments, redesigning the environment, bringing in living energy through plants, helping them develop a personal style, ultimately so that they're really confident in their space because it's really a physical manifestation of who you are.
Absolutely. And I feel like the times where my house is like really cluttered, I'll like look around and be like, my mind is so cluttered too. I can't do
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting because, I've always believed that like to my very core, and I had a really hard time growing up because my parents had a very different relationship with space than I do. They were really cluttered and they liked antiques and they didn't have the same level of like pride in the space that I was personally rooted in. So that always created a lot of like frustration internally for me. Cause I was like, Mom, like, why do you leave all this mail on the table? Like people come in and they see this, like go through the mail, you know, like what is this? But she just had a different relationship with our space than I did. And not too long ago, I read the book Blink by Malcolm Gladwell. And there's a psychology study that they cite where the Big Five personality test is a very like commonly used test for measuring like some basic personality traits. And there was a group of students, they were the subjects, and then there were two other groups. One, group A knew the students and group B did not. And group A and B filled out the Big Five based on the students. Group A, who knew them, just filled out the questionnaire, and group B went into their dorm rooms when they weren't home and looked at their space and then filled out the questionnaire and actually scored higher than the people that knew the students. That's so your space is actually a really significant measure of who you are. And oftentimes people are like, no, I work so many hours. I just sleep there. It doesn't matter. But I truly believe that like really taking the time to cultivate a space that's a reflection of you and investing in yourself and being excited about coming back to it, even if you work crazy hours, is really an act of self-love and self-care.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, when my space is open and feeling good and like bright and airy, I feel productive. Mm-hmm. I feel happier.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, the other end of it, that is that I don't at all, and I feel very cluttered and frantic. So I totally love what you're doing. And that's why I was like, I have to talk to you and pick your brain because I need to know how to make my space nicer.
Yes.
So you said that you've kind of always been this way, but do you think that there was like a moment in your childhood that shifted and like sparked this organizational creativity? Because it's creative too. It's not just like this like
blank
thing, you know?
I know. And I think that's what's so fun about it is because people want like these like three tips and tricks for your space. But it's really just like for me, because I'm so intuitive about it, it's really like it's like a puzzle every time, and that's what makes it fun. I think what came up for me when you asked that question is there was this moment, my dad and my stepmom always used to fight because my stepmom had like a shopping problem and her closet was always like full to the brim. And my dad was a minimalist, but like almost to a fault, like he would just throw things away without a care for like whether it meant something to someone or not. So I had like that energy in my dad's house. And then my mom like just had a lot of stuff at her house. And I would always see my dad and my stepmom getting in these like fights around like stuff. And that kind of like was just an interesting experience to watch because it was like this tension between them, this like fundamental belief that they didn't agree on, you know? And I think that's something really interesting for people who are co-creating a space with a partner too, is like having a dialogue about like what your beliefs are about space. But I just remember always helping my stepmom like edit her closet, like helping her take stuff out. Cause one part of me was like, I don't want you guys to fight. But another part of me was like, I love doing this. This is so much fun. Try that on, do this. No, that doesn't look good. Get rid of it. Like, let's do this, you know? Yeah. So that was like a fun moment. Like those were really fun times for me where I got to edit with her. That's what I can kind of think of is like where I was a child, but I was like guiding her, you know, and that was just like an interesting experience.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Fun too. I imagine that you didn't just like pop out at like 7 years old and you're like, I am an organizational spatial solutions person. So what was the journey of like coming into this full time?
Well, I think that I always knew that I really liked spaces that were like open and organized, but also like beautiful. Cause like, I think what's cool is this, like this integration of design and style, but also like function, right? Like the space actually having intention and things being placed a certain way. So it's like maybe in a space that has an amazing interior designer comes in, and it looks beautiful, but like what's happening behind the cabinets that the designer like doesn't get into. So I remember going to friends' houses and just like being really inspired by spaces and also feeling really uncomfortable in spaces that like didn't have good energy and me being like, I want to go, I wouldn't want to sleep over there. I would even like ask the friend like, here, let's try this in your room. Like there's just like little, like I'm also like, sometimes I struggle with control. So like I had to surrender a lot and be like, hey, you can't like redo all your friends' rooms. Like it's annoying them. But then I really never knew what I wanted to do until probably my senior year of high school. I started to get really interested in psychology. I was always kind of interested in human behavior. And then I studied psych in college and I thought I wanted to be a therapist. And I really didn't want to go right back to grad school after college. So I took a break and just decided to be a teacher because I still felt like I was getting to use some of like my psychology and like observe humans and like guide humans in some way. And upon being a teacher, I realized I really didn't want to go back to school in general. And I had a whole situation with myself about that, as I think I was like really holding on to this idea of becoming a therapist and helping people. And then I was sitting there with my therapist telling her this, and she was like, you don't have to be a therapist to help people. And I was like, light bulb. And it was in being a teacher where I got to like, we moved classrooms a few times and I got to like redesign the classroom and also like create organization systems within it. And that was really my favorite part, was creating this infrastructure for the kids to like explore and learn. And, but then I also really didn't like that they messed everything up. So yeah, exactly. I was like, what the fuck? but then I realized that being a teacher isn't what I wanted to do. And that what I wanted to do is help people redefine their relationship with their space. Cause I believe that it is like a deeply psychological, it's a physical manifestation of you. So there's all these deeper psychological principles and like inner workings that are happening about what you believe that you're worth, right? Like relating to scarcity versus abundance. Also like old stories and previous programming you've learned from your parents about how to operate in a space. Or maybe it's just something as simple as like you've kept these nightstands from your parents because they just like gave them to you and you're too lazy to go buy new furniture. Like whatever it is, it's all an opportunity to like grow and bring new intention in.
Yeah. I love what you said, and I feel like there's so much to unpack there because there is this whole psychology of our spaces, and you can really like see what those deep-rooted beliefs are
100%
based off of the way that people have their space. So when you mentioned scarcity versus abundance mm-hmm. within your space, what would that look like on the abundance side versus the scarcity side?
I think a big component of that is, you know, as Americans, there are like two fundamental beliefs that we're told, which are don't waste, right? Like we become more and more psychologically advanced, technologically advanced in all the ways. But like our parents and our parents' parents grew up in a time where it was like, don't waste, Great Depression, like hold on to it, never waste anything, clean your plate, whatever it may be. Like we don't throw those clothes away. We use all our toys, whatever. And that fundamentally opposing capitalism, which says buy more, consume more, right? So there's this deep belief and fear around scarcity, around not wasting. Like, no, we hold on to that shirt, even though there's holes in it. Or I'm keeping those pillows, even though I don't like them anymore, because like they're good pillows, even though I don't like them, they're fine. They function. It's like, yeah, but you don't like them. You know, versus like more of an abundance mindset, which is like this understanding, this like fluidity and like the ebb and the flow, which is that like I can let this go and know that like one, it's going to serve someone else, which is a huge pro. But also that like the tighter I hold on to something really means that it's an opportunity to practice like non-attachment, you know what I mean? And just be like, I'm okay with it. It's uncomfortable, but I'm going to lean into that discomfort. And the first couple times is really weird because the first thought that goes through your head is like, what if I need those pants for that one time when I need those pants? It's like, well, what if when you need those pants, you can ask a friend if you can borrow some car, like for example, you need cargo pants to go on a hike. Like, do you need to buy hiking pants? Like, probably not. Like, maybe you could borrow from a friend. Maybe if like you're gonna, if you're only gonna do it once, like find some sort of way to borrow or whatever. But if you're gonna do it, if this is gonna become a new hobby, then like invest in yourself, right? Like, there's a balance and there's like that intuitive feeling that you can tap into around it. But if like your first feeling is like, I don't want to let them go because what if? It's like, yeah, but what if, right? Like when that moment comes, like you're abundant enough to get what you need.
Yeah.
And like trusting that and choosing to like up level and believe that like you're worthy of everything that you want when you want it, when it's time, right? Instead of it being like, no, but I need those pants because, or a huge one is like, those are my skinny pants, right? Like I'm waiting for that day that I'm that weight, but every day you're waiting for that weight, you're telling your current body that you don't think that you're good enough as you are, right? Like let it go. If you do lose 10 pounds, great. You'll buy new pants.
Yeah.
Like it's okay.
Yeah. I love that. That's such a good example because, well, one, because so many of us do that, but also because it really does illuminate like the gap between where you are now and where you want to go. And it's just like saying that you can't be there today.
Yeah.
And so it's like a form of just like negative beliefs, negative thoughts.
Yeah. It's also just like, you're not affording yourself the opportunity to just fully love yourself as you are right now.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, and this is another great reason why it's with Black Friday and like all of these, like the holidays and when people are, you know, there's deals, quote unquote deals. Cause like, it's just an illusion. Right. When that stuff is going on, we have a tendency to want to buy things in excess. Like, no, I should get this sweater in 3 colors and these pants because it's such a good deal. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, but everything's kind of temporary and fluid. So, you know, maybe don't buy so much of everything. And maybe like overall consuming less is really the answer to navigating the scarcity versus abundance mentality too, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like buying things with intention and really like I buy like one pair of pants and I wear them and I love them. Maybe I buy them in 2 colors, but I get really good use out of them. But people have a tendency to want to have like 8 pairs of pants. Mm-hmm. And I even feel it come up for me. Like I'm not above any of this. Like we're all humans and we're all on this journey together. I think that for some, it's easier to navigate like that voice in my head that comes back and is like, no, we should go buy those Levi's. We need 7 pairs because like we like them so much. We need 7. But then I'm like, wait a minute. Deep breath. I don't need 7. Like four is good, right? Like different colors, different styles that do different things. And like, that's enough. And so it's really shifting to like that being enough, as opposed to needing a different outfit, a different thing for every occasion, which is what comes up for you when you're trying to get rid of something. But like, what if I need that shirt for this?
Yeah.
So it's really like also not subscribing to trends as much is another way to navigate that, yeah, like that dissonance. It's like buying basics that look really good on you, that make you feel good. And how often like did I used to buy clothes that looked really good on the mannequin, looked really good on friends, but didn't look good on my personal body, and they just sit there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or there's a deal on it.
Too many times.
Yeah. Way too many times.
Yeah.
Or there's a deal, so you just get it. And what I learned from reading this like book called Essentialism, which is a really wonderful book. It's a different take on minimalism. Well, it's essentialism, not minimalism. Is that less but better? Mm-hmm. Right. So really taking the time to say a quick no. No. Yeah. Say no quickly. And say yes really slowly. Mm. Try on a bunch of different sweaters. You may go shopping 5 times over the course of a month and find nothing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Find nothing, really. You know what I mean? Take the time to be discerning and find things that really make you feel good. Maybe you buy it, bring it home, try it on with a few different outfits. It's like shoes, for example, are a great thing to do that with. Mm-hmm. And Bloomingdale's and Nordstrom's also have great return policies, right, that you can like try it on, feel into it, like walk around your house, like really spend time in that thing and see how it makes you feel. And then go from there. Cause I've done that many times. I bring something home, wear it, try it on. And I'm like, never mind.
Yeah.
You know, cause in the store, there's so much pressure and like your judgment is kind of clouded by this like desire of like things around you that you just want to get it.
Oh my gosh. The fluorescent lights.
Yeah.
The sales associate.
Yeah. They're like, they look amazing on you. They look amazing. Really? I'm like, but do they? I don't think so.
So what else besides, you know, maybe bringing something home and trying it on and trying it out for a little bit. Yeah. What else is a part of your process of determining whether something fits with your space, whether it be clothes or whether it be furniture or art?
Yeah, I try and practice that essentialism of like sitting on it, right? So I really like, one thing I don't sit on, I'll be totally honest, is plants. I always buy plants because I love living energy and it makes me feel really good in my space. And I don't think it's something that grows with you, which I think is like a really cool energetic component. Yeah. It feels like most things we buy tend to deteriorate with us, whereas plants like grow.
Yeah.
So I love that energetic component. So like, I give you no boundaries on plants. For the most part, like you still need to be able
you
to walk.
See my house.
Yeah. You still need to be able to walk around and like entertain if you like entertaining, you know, keeping it functional, of course. But another thing I say take your time with is like, especially with decor, and bring things home, buy it, try it in your space, see how it makes you feel. A great thing I like to do is like making mood boards if I feel inspired by something. Great thing to use is PowerPoint or like Google Slides. Mm-hmm. And you can screenshot things you see online and you can take pictures of what's currently in your space and drag that into it and like layer things on top of one another and kind of just play.
That's a great tip.
Yeah, that's a fun thing to do. Also, something that I've really learned over this past year, which kind of goes with this, is outsourcing knowledge when that's not your domain. So for example, like I use one of my friends does styling on the side. Like I have her help me with all of my shopping now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, I can help people edit. I can help other people shop. But for some reason, when it comes to myself, like there's a mental block. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I seek help. So it's like kind of also knowing your boundaries about where, if like you don't know where to go with your interior, like find someone to help you, whatever that means, whatever that means to you. But yeah, it's like, it's really like knowing your limitations, knowing your boundaries. It's not a sign of weakness to ask for help. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a sign of strength.
Yeah.
Maybe that means you have to save up a little bit, whatever it is, like just be willing, you know, open yourself up to the possibility of asking for support, you know?
I feel like too, you know, at least in my personal opinion, in my life, if someone asks me for help and I'm able to give them a gift of like helping them,
yeah,
it's a gift for me to be able to
100%.
Do that. Like, it feels good for me too.
Yeah.
So there's no shame in asking.
Exactly. It's just, I think it's so important to really just like know what you're good at, what your strengths are, and also what your weaknesses are. And then asking for support, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's like, maybe you and like, I, even now, I like to have a friend here when I'm editing my space. I don't need them to tell me where things go. It's like having a warm body in the room for me to like bounce ideas off of it, even though it's a pretty one-sided exchange is still like, I still like it.
Yeah.
No, we are here for human connection. Like that's what we thrive off of as human beings. So it's not an accident that we do better when we have a thought partner, you know, someone to just like talk something out with, to be like, what do you think of this sweater? Does it look good? Does it not? Like, is it, they're like, no, you don't need it. You have 8 white sweaters. Right.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's really good to have that dialogue.
Yeah. I remember when I used to live with roommates, we were doing, she had lived at her house for like, that I had moved into. She lived there for like 5 years and had hardly edited the spot. You would probably go crazy if you went in there. But I remember I was like, we have to do a purge. And she comes up to me after going in the art closet and like had like a string in her hand. She's like, I can't get rid of this. And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean you can't get rid of this? It's a fucking string.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And I was just like, you can't hoard that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So I guess my next question for you then is like, if someone has not edited their space for years, like where do you start?
Yeah. Well, just to rewind a second, like what you were saying about the string is like another perfect example of like this scarcity mentality and this like deeper fear of wasting because we live in such like a high waste culture, between fast fashion, like single use water bottles, like the list goes on. Right. Yeah. It's like, that's also why like the discernment about like, am I going to use all of this before I buy it? Like, do I just have an idea to just like go buy 3 things of yarn and I want to take up knitting? Or like, can I go to a knitting studio and like take some lessons first and then try and do something with the string there in this contained space? But also knowing, like doing a little bit of research around, like if you're doing a craft, what are organizations, or like maybe there's a local school, a library, a art store that you can like go give those things back to. So you don't feel that deep sense of like guilt and remorse for wasting something.
That's a really good
point. That's just like a way to navigate that, that sort of challenge we have around like random items, you know, that we don't want to waste, but at the same time, like we don't need. Right.
Like, yeah.
And it's also not about the size of the thing or how much space it takes up. It's more about the energetic components of like, why are you keeping it? Cause if one of my clients has a really good reason and like, I can feel like where they're coming from, I'm like, yeah, keep it.
Yeah.
They're like, it's not clutter. I'm like, no, you just told me why it's not clutter, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I have like extra thank you cards in my closet because I think thank you cards, like handwriting a thank you note is like really meaningful.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And they're going to last me probably till forever. Like, I honestly think I have enough thank you cards till forever, but like, that's okay.
Yeah.
But to get back to your more recent question, I think it's really important to refresh your space multiple times a year. Just to even try moving a few items around. You are constantly evolving as a human being and your space tends to evolve. Ideally, we want your space to evolve with you. The way that a lot of people live is their space tends to fall behind them, right? So it's like, what do you need to do to continually refresh your space? So please, please, please never wait 5 years to edit. Please like max wait 6 months. Just making it a ritual for yourself, whether you do it every spring and every summer, well, that's not 6 months apart, every spring and every winter, whatever you choose, it's on, like, find your own personal rhythm with it. But like, I edit my space like every 2 months. And it's just also like a really deep, like energetic refresh. Even do something as simple as like just cleaning out all your drawers and like maybe you only get rid of 2 things. Like energetically, you moved things around. Like energy stagnates. That's why sweeping is so important, because it's a really great opportunity to help like move energy through your space. Mm-hmm. And like obviously sweeping things off the floor. But if you don't sweep, try sweeping. It's also really therapeutic. like vacuuming, super cool. But like first, like do a round of sweeping just to like move energy through your space.
Yeah, I like that a lot. It's so interesting. I had never really thought about it that way. But over the past few months up until like this past month, mm-hmm. I had been feeling almost like caged in my space. And like I literally felt like I had outgrown it. And that's when I started talking to Corey, and I was like, babe, we got to move. Like, I need to move now. I can't wait until after the wedding. Like, we got to go now. Like, yeah. We are too big for this space. And after talking me off that ledge, we just ended up.
Bless you, Corey.
We ended up just moving stuff around and cleaning up and like really, really editing everything that we had in the space and like moving different furniture into different rooms. And it feels so much better now.
Yeah.
So I love the idea of just making some changes every few months, because it does make such a big difference.
It really does. I mean, it's so funny that we were doing this today, and earlier today I was feeling, I've been doing a lot of work in a client space that's like my dream space. Like, and it's so cool to get to touch it and feel it and have it be real, because then I know that like I too can have that. But then I come back to my space and I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I don't want this. Like, I'm creating something just like so magical over there that it's just like, and it's like what I want, that I've been feeling a weird energy in my space. So it's like over the next couple of days, like I'm probably going to like move some plants around, like buy a different plant, hang some different art. You know what I mean? Like finding some small shifts to like renew the energy and renew like my love and excitement for my space, because it's an extension of me.
Yeah. I like that.
So it's not, it doesn't have to always be a huge time commitment or time investment, especially if, important note, especially if you do it more frequently. It will take you many days if you wait a really long time to go through your whole space. But if you invest a little bit of time every couple months, you're going to feel just overall like, oh, and it was only 2 hours. I just did a little this.
Yeah.
You know,
even if you just do like one room at a time.
Yeah, totally.
So is the order then like remove, then maybe move stuff around and then add?
Yeah. I mean, I take my clients through like sort of a cyclical process of awareness, action, and integration. So the awareness phase is really about like, what's your relationship with your space? And then from there, we kind of move into like, what are your pain points? Like, what's really bothering you? Why have you been keeping this? What's your relationship to it? And like the different layers of that. And then the action is like, okay, we're getting rid of it. Let's move it out. Or maybe we move it to a different room. Like my favorite part of the work I do is a lot of it is the spatial planning. So it's just coming into a space that already exists and like creating a little bit of a different flow, helping people reimagine their space. So that's also part of the action phase. And then the final phase is like integration, is sort of setting up those systems of organization, bringing in products, styling, decorating, plants, all of that. So yeah, we just like go in that sort of circle: awareness, action, integration, like becoming aware of the problem, taking action around it, and then integrating new habits, style, all that in each room.
Yeah, that's super cool. So, you know, you mentioned energy a lot in all of this, and I completely agree.
Yeah.
And, you know, how I said at the beginning, when my space feels really cluttered, my mind feels cluttered too. So like, how does clutter directly, I guess, work with energy / block energy?
Yeah. So that's a great question. So clutter is a physical manifestation of stagnation, right? So it's like things are just piling up on top of one another and they're just stopping, right? There's no pile and then movement. Mm-hmm. It's just things are stopped. So clutter tends to decrease productivity. There's also mental clutter, right? It's like knowing that you need to go to the car wash and pick up your clothes from the tailor and go renew your driver's license. It's like every day that you keep putting off those tasks, right? It feels like it's almost harder to start all of them.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes with that pile of shit on your table. The longer you let the shit sit there, the more daunting it becomes to just do it. Mm-hmm. So a huge part of like my work is supporting people in that like first step, yeah. right? They're aware of it, but it's like some people just really need support with the action. Some people need less support with the action, and that's, you know, the clients I work with more virtually are like really action oriented. They need direction. So then like, that's where I come in, okay. but it's the clutter is usually like is a form of procrastination, right? It's a form of fear. And there's like usually different layers to like why it's been building up. And it could be something as simple as like, I just don't have time, but it's like, well, like, what does that really mean?
Yeah.
Right? Like it means you don't have time to prioritize yourself, putting away your clothes. Like last night, funny story, anecdote. I was at my friend's house and I was doing laundry there, and because it's like a nicer washing machine and I like it. And my friend Erica comes in the room and she goes, Danny, like, how do I inspire myself to fold my laundry? And I was like, well, you never do laundry if you can't fold it right away. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, no, you don't do laundry if you can't fold it right away. Like, don't try and squeeze laundry in before something, mm-hmm. because then it's your clean clothes are going to sit there in a ball.
Right.
And then that's how they get really wrinkled. And like, it kind of feels like you didn't even do your laundry when you come home.
Yeah.
Right. It's like in the same like dirty ball, like ball, like energy that it was when it was dirty.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're already setting yourself up for failure. So it's like, also allotting yourself enough time to complete tasks, and like taking the time to fold your laundry right after it's done is like an act of self-love and self-care.
Yeah.
Like prioritize it. So don't say, oh, my laundry only takes me like an hour, but I have like 45 minutes. So I'll just like grab it from the dryer a few minutes early, throw it, and I have to leave. Don't do that.
Yeah.
It's like that simple. Create a bigger time frame window for you to do those even mundane tasks. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, they have that expression, cleanliness is next to godliness. It's not, it takes time and effort and care, but it's an opportunity to really love yourself, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. And I feel like these tasks too are like ones that you have to be completely present into.
Yeah, so absolutely. It's a nice,
like, meditation for yourself.
100%. It is a moving meditation if you want it to be.
Yeah. Corey will leave. Sorry, Corey. I'm totally ratting you out on this. He'll leave his clothes in the dryer for like 2 days. And I'm just like, I have to do my laundry now. Can you please get yourself out of the dryer?
Yeah. It's real. I mean, laundry is definitely one of those like tasks that's like, Erica was like, I want to invent some sort of tech that like has a little laundry robot. And I was like, great, you work on that. In the meantime, fold your laundry, yeah, when it's done.
Fluff and fold.
Yeah.
I did that for a while.
I also think it's super important though to maintain like certain relationships. Like every once in a while, even if you have someone else doing your laundry, like fold your own laundry just to like ground yourself and like love your things. And also it's a great opportunity to look at everything that you own and that's being so like, true. Where am I at with this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's also a wonderful opportunity to really care for your things, taking the time. Like I used to, when I was younger, I would just like put my lights and my darks in together. And now I'm like, oh, like maybe I'll be more thoughtful, right? I would like the longevity of my clothing will be greatly enhanced if I don't smush things together.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's a great example. I totally used to do that as well. And now I'm like, oh, well, my clothes are actually getting ruined a lot faster.
Yeah.
And I really like this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So clutters has many, many different layers to it. It could be something as simple as like avoidance, all the way down to like a deeper fear around letting go of something. Because for example, this happened with a client, like her mother's love language was gift giving. Mm-hmm. And like she had acquired all these purses because they live on opposite sides of the country. And that's why she didn't want to let them go at first. And then she had this like moment of release and like communicating with her mom about, hey mom, like I want you to come spend time with me. I don't want you to send me things. So it's also like a really wonderful like gateway to figuring out some like deeper stuff that's going on.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And that really kind of leads into the next question of energy being attached or stories being attached to different items in our spaces at home. Like when we do have these experiences with pieces, what is your first step in uncovering what it means with your clients? Like, how did you get to the point of recognizing that your client really just wanted to spend time with her mom and not receive these gifts?
Yeah. Well, luckily this client's like a very like powerful, intuitive woman as well. But we just did, I was like, asked her, okay, so why do you like this? Like, what does it mean to you? And she was like, well, my mom got it for me. I'm like, okay, well, do you like it? She's like, no, I never wear it. And I was like, okay, well, if it's just sitting here, how is it serving you? Because we, one, don't have space for it. And two, like energetically, it's just taking up mental space in your life. Right. And mm-hmm. it's something you don't even like seeing. So it's not about sweeping it under the rug or shoving it high up in a closet. It's about really addressing why it is you're holding on to this. And she was like, well, I have this guilt because my mom gifted it to me. And like, I never see her, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, great. So like, what if you told your mom, like, hey, mom, I'm actually like trying to be more mindful about the space that I'm creating. I would really love if like you didn't send me like these bulkier items and like instead communicate your needs to her. Like, what do you want from her? And after like some time working through that, that's kind of what we came to. And she had a conversation with her mom.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
What about people that are less receptive though? Or I guess maybe less open to making those connections.
Yeah. I think oftentimes it can be daunting to be like, let's get rid of it right away. Yeah. Right. So kind of creating this like in transition pile, like we're going to reflect on this piece here. We're going to see how we can work it in. Like, let's see how much space we can create and see if this still fits here. And if it still feels good towards, you know, the later parts of the, like in the integration phase. Mm. I think that it's really important for people to take a moment, like it can feel like a lot. So, you know, to get rid of a lot. So just like taking a moment to like breathe and just pause on that. It doesn't all have to happen right away. You don't have to get rid of all the things all the time, every, you know, in that moment. But I try and like just really coach my clients through that like scarcity versus abundance mindset. Mm-hmm. Like another big thing that takes up a lot of space in people's houses is fine china. And I actually learned this from my business coach, which is that like, maybe you keep like one piece of the set, you know what I mean? As the memento, but like, if you don't even like the plates and you're never going to use them, there are people like, even though it's fine china, like I get it. It's beautiful. This is like an archaic wedding gift. Nobody do that anymore, please. like get people plates that they want.
Honey fun.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, let somebody else use that. There are tons of people that don't have plates, you know, that will use that thing that you are not currently using and holding out onto because of this like mental relationship you have with the idea of somebody giving it to you and that meaning that it means something. You know, it's like we have to shift like literally our mental relationships with stuff. It's not the thing that holds the memories. It's like the person and the experience. So whether that means you take a photo of it or you keep a part of it, you know, like your favorite teacup and little tea plate from the fine china, like that seems that's sufficient, right? Because then you'll actually use it and love it and appreciate it versus like it collecting dust in like china boxes somewhere inside your kitchen or garage, you know, like, and that idea of like, what if I need it for that time? I have all these people over. It's like, you won't, you won't even think to use it because stuff that's sitting in your garage is clutter. For the most part, like holiday decorations are the exception because you take them out once a year. But for the most part, stuff that you're just like keeping in your garage and using your garage as like a storage unit, it's like you don't think to use that stuff.
Oh, never.
No,
never. And then when you get rid of it, you never think about it again.
No, but I also try and be really mindful of the getting rid of process because of like how quickly clients move through that. Because sometimes people will be on a roll and just like, get rid of it, get rid of it. I'm like, okay, like, wait. You know, like, cause then they'll have, it'll sink in the next day after it's gone and they'll be like, wait a minute, I didn't want to do that. So it's like, I no longer take donations for my clients anymore so that they have the like, it makes me a little nervous to leave them with all the things. I organize a service to like, come pick it up, but it gives them an opportunity to let that like sink in. And instead of it being like, oh, you took it away, it's gone. And now it's already been donated, it's like they have a moment to like sit with it in case they change their mind about something that in the heat of the moment they had a lot of like momentum or like, yeah, just get rid of it. And then the next day, like, wait, no, I probably should keep those snow boots. We go back to New York 3 times a year in the winter, even though like I don't even go outside while it's snowing. I'll just keep that. You know what I mean? Like, totally. There are some things, and that's why the whole process is so intuitive. You know, it's such an individual experience with each client, and I really adapt like my methods to each client's needs, you know, and kind of like where they're at in their journey and how I know how hard I can push certain people, you know, like I might push you and Corey a little harder than I would push someone that like I've never met before. You know what I mean? As I like discover.
Yeah.
And learn more about them.
So let's chat about like what it means to work with you then. Cause you know, you have these methods, you talk about like the in transition pile and then the energy, but like, what is it? What is the process?
Well, basically I start every client out with intuitive space planning, which is like a 2-hour diagnostic session. I can do it in person and I can do it virtually. In person, what it looks like is I meet with the client. I really discuss like their current relationship with their space, have them really reflect upon that. Even them just saying, saying it out loud is a really powerful experience, right? They're like, I just, you know, my space is super important to me, but I've never really know how to ground myself in it. I just feel really chaotic and like overwhelmed by all of it. And I'm like, great. So you're overwhelmed. You need guidance and direction, right? That's kind of their pain point. And from there we take a tour. I ask them a ton of like diagnostic questions. Like, how do you use this? Tell me about your, like, what does it look like? Kind of like, when you walk through the room, like what, how would your process be? What would your process look like? That made no sense. And then from there, I sort of give them some right away, some like quick tips that I see like with my eye right away to make some changes. Personal to their space. So that they leave that session, that 2-hour session, with like some actionable things that they can implement right away. And then I also play around with the layout in those 2 hours. Like, I'll be like, you know what? This table feels like it's blocking the flow of the entryway. Let's try this over here, move that plant over here. And now we have living energy. It's more fluid. It feels more welcoming. And they even leave with like some cool, like little shifts in their space that I've given them, you know, with the spatial planning. Yeah. And so from there, if we decided to work together, basically, the process could go really any way the client wants it to. So some clients might need more like design consulting and like plant shopping and need just like really like help, like filling out the space and making it really beautiful. Other clients might just be like, okay, we have 3 sessions. So I offer a package and there are 3 sessions that are half days in person that we work together. And some clients might need a lot more like coaching and handholding through the editing process. Some clients are like, tell me what to do and by our next session, let's really work on like infrastructure, right? Figuring out drawer organizers, baskets, so on and so forth. So it really depends like how we use our time together, but there's really like 3 in-person sessions. And then they have like all access to me virtually. Email, text for guidance and support in between those sessions. And I really like to make my work an opportunity for my clients to be empowered, right? So I want them to do like a few things in between our sessions together. Even if they don't want to edit alone, I push them to just get a little bit uncomfortable and try, just do this one drawer, right? See what you can get rid of, set it off to the side. You don't have to donate it yet, but let me see what you can do, because like one day you're going to do it without me.
Yeah.
Right. That's the goal, for them to be empowered.
Right. Right. So what is your favorite organization store?
Well, obviously the Container Store. I mean, I feel like that's like another huge component of like, you know, my expertise is like, you might, you know, someone might go in there and be like, they don't even know where to start.
Yeah,
it's like,
you're a bunch of boxes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, here, I'm just going to tell you what you need.
Yeah.
It makes it easier.
I feel like that's so helpful too.
It is.
Like, we just like look around and we're like, yeah, I want, like, for me, I'm like, I want my kitchen to be organized, but I don't even know where to start. Like,
right.
I went to like a Ross and bought myself like some jars that have like the chalk thing that you do on it, and like a thing of chalk, and never used it.
Yeah.
It's just like sitting in my
kitchen. It happens all the time. Yeah. Especially in stores like Ross and TJ Maxx. It's like things like look like they're on sale and it seems like, oh, but it's so much more affordable. I'll just do it from here. But then you never really like holistically do it because they don't have like enough of each thing for you to really implement the change. So save your money, save up a little bit and like do it at the Container Store or like there are other, you know, brands that you could use. You can just use mason jars if you want. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can do it however you want. I'm not paid by the Container Store to say anything about them. but yeah, it's really, don't get fooled by like deals at like TJ Maxx and stuff.
Yeah, that's such a good point. So for me personally, I work at home. So one of the things that I've struggled with is separating my energy of working versus my energy of like being home and being like a personal space, because my desk is in my living space too. Yeah. So like, how do you manage that? And how do you like approach that with your clients that do work from home?
One thing obviously would, if you can't have your own home office, of course, really trying to one, make your desk like a really minimal, beautiful piece that feels like it integrates seamlessly into your living room. I would never keep any work out on it so that you don't have like when you do want to choose to step into more of a restorative mode, like your yin kind of vibes, the feminine of just like being in your space and just allowing, then you don't have to like stare at this eyesore. That's why like a laptop is great, right? If your desk has to be in your living room, because then you can like fold it up and slide it into a drawer as opposed to it being like a reminder of like you working and needing to work. Cause all of there's like energetic, you're in a relationship with your space and everything in it. So there are like energetic attachments. Like sometimes my laptop means work. Sometimes my laptop means Netflix. You know what I mean? So it's really intuitive to you and your space, but really like making it beautiful, like add candles, put a plant on it, find some sort of filing system so that your papers aren't everywhere. It's seamless to find. A filing cabinet is great if you don't have one. If you can go digital and like get a neat scanner and scan all of your documents right away into the cloud, that's a great way to like remove paper clutter from from your workspace.
Yeah, which is such a pain in the butt.
Yeah, it really is. So investing in something like a neat scanner and then like an external G drive so that you can back everything up that you've scanned in. Also like I pay $2.99 a month for the cloud. Hashtag ad, just kidding, not really.
The cloud.
Yeah, the cloud. I mean, Google also has great storage too. So just like finding ways to like minimize the physical manifestation of your work and putting it into more of a digital space, it allows you the opportunity to really enjoy your physical space, even if your workspace has to be inside of it.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I'm aware now that my giant 20-inch Mac desktop is probably like staring at me. Yeah. Please do more work.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's hard because subconsciously it's working against you.
Right.
It might consciously, you're like, I've turned off for the night. I feel so relaxed. But it's like your computer screen's looking like it's in the room with you.
Yeah.
So unconsciously you're absorbing it. You know,
totally.
Another great thing I suggest is like maybe after a hard work day, like, light Palo Santo or sage to just kind of cleanse your space, light a candle, and like maybe you just like listen to a song that really soothes you, but like creating a ritual for yourself that's like turning off or turning down.
Yeah. I think that's such a good point because there's so many like tips on like when you get home, changing out of your work clothes,
yeah,
shower and changing into something
comfortable. Right.
But for us that work from home and
exactly
all day.
Exactly. You know? Right. Never took them off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel that for sure. Also, another great option is like 2 days a week, like making a point with yourself to just like go out and work at a coffee shop, right? Like get out of your space, do work from somewhere. I've been doing that a lot more lately. I meet up with like a girlfriend and like we go to Erewhon and sit outside and work from there. This is just like another way for you to like differentiate from your space and energetically, whatever you're working on, you're vibrating it into the world from being in different locations. So I think that's really cool.
I like that. Erewhon, if you are listening, because I know you definitely are listening, please come down to San Diego, please.
We need you.
So I know at the beginning of this conversation, you did say, you know, there's not really the three quick tips or tricks, but for people that are all over the globe that may not be able to work with you, what are three things that listeners can do now to at least invite in more balance and organization into their home space?
That's a great question. Well, one, the good news is that I do take virtual clients now. So wherever you are, I'm here for you. But to answer your question, I think something I really suggest is really reflect on your current relationship with your space. Like, take time to really explore that. Like, are you excited about entertaining people? Does it scare you? Are you motivated to do all the things you want to do because you've fully restored in your space each night that you go to rest in it, you know? So just taking that time to reflect on it. And like, maybe that means you even go a little bit further and ask yourself, like, what was it like growing up? How did I feel in my space growing up? Like, and how is that energy carrying over into the space now that I'm an adult? You know, it's really important to get that awareness first before you take any action, which is like why I start that way. And then just some actionable tips to always invite more balance in is bring in living energy. So plants are like your best friend. If you need like plant recommendations, like I've got you, hit me up. But I think that when you bring living energy into your space, you can literally feel the difference. Not only does it give you better oxygen, but it's an opportunity for you to care for something in your space, you know, like watering it, like nurturing something, which in turn is you nurturing yourself. And then take a moment to really look around and see like, what's that thing that you've been holding on to that isn't serving your highest good? You know, there's that thing, like you're thinking about it right now.
Like letters from ex-boyfriends.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think there's something to be said about keeping like a really like pivotal moment in a relationship, a piece of that, if that's like something that you've celebrated. Like I have like a letter from an ex that I keep because like I'm gonna write a memoir one day and I'm definitely putting that in it because it is amazing. He wrote me an essay. It's like literally like a literary essay. That's it's wonderful. Great. I think it's
five and that's paragraphs.
No, literally, actually. So I think like in that, like, and I have like such a positive like relationship with that experience now that keeping it isn't holding me back from anything. It's actually like exciting and cool to like look back upon it. But for example, another quick thing is like with your spaces, noticing how much space you have and working within that framework, right? The more space you get, the more stuff you'll find to fill it up. So like get comfortable with empty space, right? Like not all your drawers need to be full to the brim. Not all your shelves need to be filled. There's beautiful ways to accessorize things without having everything being close together. Like 2 inches between your hangers is amazing. Why do you think the Reformation is such a wonderful shopping experience?
I've only done it online, but I want to go to in-store bad.
Yeah, well, but even you think of like just like simple curated stores, right? There's inches between each hanger. You can see everything in the store and you're like, why do I feel so amazing in here? Right? It's an experience. And like you can actually cultivate that same experience within your own home by shifting your relationship with things. Imagine that.
Well, Dani, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Where can we find you? How can people work with you? What is your social media? Tell us everything.
Okay. Well, my Instagram is at Spatial Solutions, like S-O-U-L. My website is spatialsolutions.com. And yeah, those are the main places. You can DM me, you can email me, all the things. That's where to find me. Join my email list for cool tips to manifest monthly in your inbox. You know, all the things.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on.
Of course. Thank you for having me.